Dietrich slit the seal on the packet and unfolded it. "What is it?" Joachim asked. It was an indictment from the Episcopal Court that he had baptized demons. If there were any surprise in the contents, it was that they had been so long in coming. It came suddenly upon Dietrich that it was on this night, at about this time of day, that the Son of Man had been betrayed by one of his own. Would they come for him tonight as well? No. He had a month's grace to respond. He read the document a second time, but the words had not changed. "A month's grace," said Manfred, when Dietrich came to his scriptorium with the news. "By law," Dietrich answered. "And I must provide a list of my enemies, so the investigating magistrate may decide whether the charges have been laid in malice. There must be at least two witnesses before a judge will act. The bill does not name them, which is unusual." Manfred, sitting in his curule chair at his desk, curled his fingers under his chin. "So, how long is your enemy list?" "Mein Herr, I did not believe I had any." Manfred nodded toward the indictment. "You have at least two. By Catherine's wheel, you are naive for a priest. I can name a dozen here in the village." Dietrich thought irresistibly of those who had objected to Hans's baptism, who feared the Kränken beyond reason. The punishments for false witness were severe. Years ago, a man in Köln who had accused his son of heresy out of spite over the lad's disobedience had been placed in the stocks where he had died. Dietrich went to the slit window and sucked in the evening air. Firelight glowed in cottage windows in the valley below. The forest was a rustling black under a twinkling sky. How could he name her and deliver her to such a fate? 6. Now, Tom. Tom and Judy met at the pigeonhole to discuss her latest findings over a couple of cheesesteak hoagies. Searching for Pastor Dietrich, Judy's worm had turned up a ton of clibbum. "Do you know how many medieval Germans have been named Dietrich?" She rolled her eyes up to heaven. But secretly, she knew how much work one Eureka took. The journey of 1,000 miles really does begin with a single step. It just doesn't end there. Wrong century, wrong kingdom, Saxony, Württemberg, Franconia, a Dietrich in Cologne, even a Dietrich in Paris. Those I could eliminate. The tough ones had no particular year or place associated with them. Those I had to read one by one. And this one, she waved the printout in the air, the idiots didn't put Overhookwald in their index. Otherwise it would have popped out long ago. She bit her hoagie savagely. Jerks, she muttered. This was a book excerpt. During the 1970s, an enterprising group of liberals had published a book called Tolerance Through the Ages, whose contents were intended to show enlightened attitudes in many times and places. Along with Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech and Roger Williams' The Bloody Tenant, was a letter from Pastor Dietrich to his bishop. To the Right Reverend Wilhelm Jarlsberg, Archdeacon of Freiburg in the Breisgau, I beseech your good offices to present with my humble prayers this apologia to His Grace Berthold II, Bishop of Strasbourg. I have remained meekly silent while my detractors, hoping to turn your heart against me, have laid a charge against me with the tribunal of the Holy Office. Reason and truth will prevail, I thought. Yet this latest incident regarding the flagellants in Strasbourg causes me to wonder whether reason be yet highly regarded in Christendom. My accusers have told you that we in Oberhochwald have welcomed demons into our homes. By your most gracious leave, I respond in this manner. Question. Whether Pastor Dietrich of Oberhochwald has treated with demons and sorcerers and foully abused the blessed sacraments of baptism under vehement suspicion of heresy. Objection 1. It would seem that I have treated with demons because my guests have employed various occult devices and practice arts unknown to Christian men. Objection 2. It would seem that I have treated with demons because my guests are said to fly by supernatural means, and such flight is said to be like that of the witches who meet on the mountain called Bacandal. Objection 3. It would seem that I have treated with demons because my guests are peculiar in their appearance. On the contrary, it is written that Christ died to save all men. Baptism cannot therefore be withheld from willing converts, but only by force or by impairment of the will is the grace of the sacrament corrupted. Further, Canon Episcopi clearly states that witchcraft, albeit a civil crime, is no heresy. Thus, the request of my accusers is improper in both theology and law. Reply to Objection 1. Worldly things are either natural or unnatural, but a thing is termed unnatural because it lies outside nature's usual course, not because it invokes the supernatural. So, a stone thrown upward is said to exhibit unnatural motion, for it would never exhibit such motion by its own nature. Now, artificial things include not only constraints of nature of this kind, but also mechanical contrivances such as clocks or eyeglasses. So an herb woman employing some hidden quality of a plant is said to practice magic because the true essence has not yet been uncovered, and only the efficacy is known. But hidden does not mean forever unknown, for these essences, being real, are discoverable, and it would be vain for nature to have a property potentially knowable that cannot be actually known. And as it becomes more generally known to scholars, it ceases to be occulted. For example, we read now God's word through the medium of wonderful eyeglasses. Though these be but mechanical contrivances, many of the simple folk do mistrust them. My guests employ devices like those described by Roger Bacon, which, while their essences remain occult, are generally regarded as things of this world. Reply to Objection 2. Canon Episcopi declares that witches do not fly to their sabbats save in dreams induced by belladonna and other noxious herbs, and that to believe otherwise is sinful. Therefore, my accusers err when they claim that my guests fly by supernatural means. Flying, should it be possible, will be accomplished either through God's will or through the skills of clever artisans. Reply to Objection 3. Demons cannot abide the touch of holy water, yet the water of baptism caused them no discomfort. In particular, he who took the Christian name Johannes, therefore he is no demon. Thus do I refute my accusers. Whatsoever ye do to the least of my children, ye do unto me. I have aided wanderers lost and hungry, some grievously hurt, when they appeared here this summer past. Granted, Fra Joachim finds them ugly and names them demon, despite their evident mortal ills, but mortal they are. They fare from a far land, and folk there have naturally a different form. But if Pope Clement can, by his marvelously rational bull, open his palace at Avignon to the Jews, then surely a poor parish priest may shelter helpless wayfarers, no matter the color of their skin or the shape of their eyes. Christ with us this year of grace, 1349, given by my own hand at Oberhochwald in the Margravate of Baden, on the commemoration of Gregory Nazianzen. Dietrich. "Quite a remarkable man," said Tom, folding the printout. "Yes," said Judy quietly. "I should have liked to have known him. My parents were also helpless wayfarers. They lived in a boat on the water for 3 years before their pastor Dietrich found them a home." "Oh, I'm sorry," she shrugged. "It was a long time ago, and I was born here. The American story." He tapped the pages with his fingernail. "This brother Joachim, on the other hand, sounds like a bigot, denouncing Dietrich to the Inquisition like that, and calling the people demons. Dietrich mightn't have known who his accusers were." "Anonymous denunciation? Sounds like the Inquisition." "Well?" Tom cocked his head. "What?" "In the beginning, a lot of accusers wound up dead, killed by the heretics. So they were promised anonymity, and severe penalties were imposed for false accusations." He blinked. "The Inquisition had rules?" "Oh, yes. More stringent than the royal courts, in fact. For example, they prepared a summary of the case where they changed all the names to Latin pseudonyms and presented it to a group of men chosen for their reputation in the community, the Boni Viri, the good men, who could then review it without prejudice. We know of cases where the accused deliberately committed blasphemy to get transferred out of the royal court to the inquisitorial court. Well, they used torture, though, didn't they? For questioning, never for punishment. But everybody used torture back then. The tribunals allowed it only long after the imperial courts had introduced it. The inquisitor's own manual called it deceptive and ineffectual, and allowed it only as a last resort, or when guilt was already clear from other evidence. Back then, a confession was required. They couldn't convict on other testimony. Torture was allowed only once, and could not cause loss of limb or endanger life, and everything said must be sustained by oath given afterward. Tom wouldn't buy it. But a persistent prosecutor could find loopholes in that. Or a corrupt one, certainly. It was more like a modern grand jury than a trial. Are you sure? I always thought it was my dissertation in narrative history. Oh. That's why you learn Latin, then. In truth, Tom was often surprised by the granular details of history. Working as he did with the big picture, the particulars could vanish into faceless stereotypes.